Acts chapter 2. Peter preached at Pentecost, and one verse that so many people at least know in their heads. So many quote it with their lips. That's a marvelous, marvelous verse, word from the Lord in verse 21. It says, "It shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." And that struck me. And we hear it so often. So many people talk about saved. And we really don't rightly know what that means, or we would be more thankful. Saved from sin. That's what saved means. It means saved from sin. Saved from the awful consequences of sin. What sin has brought on this human race. And the end of sin. The destruction of everything. Saved from ourselves. From this evil self. And we will destroy ourselves unless the Lord saves us from ourselves. Saved from the god of this world, who has men and women and young people in captivity. People call it drugs. People call it this and that and the other. But it's Scripture says it's the god of this world, whom they cannot see, who has them captive at His will. And unless a stronger than He comes and leads captivity captive to Himself, takes them saved. Whosoever shall call, not work, not anything, call on the name of the Lord. And you've got to know who the Lord is. How shall they call on Him whom they not believe? How shall they believe in Him whom they not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Preach the truth. I just was just struck by that. Saved. Preserved. Preserved. Kept. That's what saved means. Kept. We can't keep ourselves. We cannot save ourselves. We must be saved by the Lord. It must be kept by the power of God. Preserved from all evil. Preserved, kept from falling. That's what this is all about. Now unto Him that is able to keep us from falling. Saved. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And now I'm really talking about something I can't tell you. But it means to be joint heirs with the Son of God. To be granted a place in the kingdom of God with the people of God throughout eternity. In a place where God dwells forever and His people dwelling in holiness and righteousness, preserved forever from sin in eternal happiness and joy and peace and contentment and pleasures forevermore. Saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. And then Peter, that's what he's doing here. He's preaching who the Lord is. See, salvation's of the Lord. Salvation belongs to the Lord. It's His to give. It's not ours to accept. It's His to give. But he did say, whosoever called. The Lord. And Scripture says there's salvation in no other. Neither is there salvation in any other. But there's none other name under heaven given about among men whereby we must be saved. That the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue confess that He is Lord. That's who we're talking about. That's who Peter preached this day. He tells us who the Lord is. Tells us why He came. Tells us what He did. In verse 22, he said in his... Now, before I go any further, let me just briefly say something about what happened there, because so many people are ignorant of what happened there. The Lord gave 12 apostles, excluding Judas. He's dead. Matthias, whom they drew straws for. And raised these 12 men up to preach the gospel. Well, they're from Galilee. They're Jews. They know one language, Hebrew. Well, they come to Pentecost. And at that time, people, mostly Jews, many Gentiles from all over the world, gathered themselves to Jerusalem one day a year at the Passover, the yearly Passover, Pentecost. And they would come, and well, the Lord, in great power, He was about to begin a work that He told them about, that He would send the Holy Spirit and the gospel would be spread all over the world. And the Lord, in great power, gave these 12 Jews gifts to preach the word in many languages. They didn't go to school. He just gave them. And all these people, these came and heard, you read it with me, the wonderful works of God, the gospel. That's the work of God. That's what this whole book is about. What Christ did, what God did through Christ, the work of salvation. And they all heard them preach this gospel in their various languages. That's what tongues or languages are for. They're not to show off. They're not they're not for believers, but they're for unbelievers. Now, when the disciples went out preaching, they didn't have this book. They didn't have the Word of God. People didn't have a copy of the Word of God. What they were preaching and doing and saying and writing was going to be the Word of God, to fulfill the Word of God. So God opened up doors for the Gentiles to hear it. These men came in to various places and they healed the sick, even raised the dead. And people took notice that these men have come from God. No man can do this except they be from God. And that was for the purpose of preaching the gospel. People sat up and took notice. And all this stuff that goes on today is phony. It's fake. If there's anything that actually happens, it's not of the Lord. It's another spirit. Because number one, they're not preaching the gospel. Okay? Number two, they're glorifying themselves. And people are going away. Here's the key. People today, when they hear and watch all this so-called tongues, all babbling, blah, 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 they go away talking about the tongues. They go away talking about those men. They go away talking about the music. They go away talking about what a wonderful service we had. When these people left, the people at Pentecost, they heard Jesus Christ exalted in their language. And everybody cried out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do? We've crucified the Lord of glory." They realized who Christ was. And that they had rebelled against Him, rejected Him. And now He's in their hands. They are in His hands to do with as He pleases them. They all heard who Christ was, who the Lord really is. Peter never said, "Won't you make Jesus Lord?" That's blasphemy. What he says here is, "God hath made Him Lord." The word "except" is not in this Bible. See, that's another gospel. What they heard was a sovereign Lord reigning and ruling who came to do a sovereign work for His people. And because He did that, God hath highly exalted Him, set Him at the right hand of His majesty on high, expecting all His enemies to be made His footstool, expecting all that He died for, the Holy Spirit to bring them. That's what He's doing right here. And He does. And He did and He does. They do. They come. And that we're in His hands. And that's the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord. It created the fear of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not some helpless fella standing outside the door that you must do something for. No. Someone who's reigning and ruling who must do something for us. according to his sovereign will. It's not of him that willeth, or of him that runneth, it's of God that showeth mercy. That's the message that Peter preached. And that's what the Lord used. And they all cried out with one voice, "What shall we do?" That's salvation. That's how, what the Lord does. And here in verse 36, he said, in conclusion of his message, here's the sum and substance of his message. Here's the sum and substance of the gospel in verse 36. Let all the house of Israel, let all in this house know. Let all in every house know. Every tribe, nation, tongue under heaven. Let all the world know them. All do not know this. All do not believe this. But all will. Scripture says every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Let all the house of Israel know assuredly, without a doubt, and know for the assurance, know for our assurance, assurance of joy and peace. Rejoice in this, his people. But know this without a doubt, that God, verse 37, that God hath made this same Jesus. God hath made. God who made the heavens and earth and us. God who in whose hands our breath is and all our ways. That God hath made. God hath declared. That's what the word means. God hath set up. God hath established this Jesus whom you crucified. Over in Psalm 2, we love that psalm, those of you who know it. It talks about those heathen raging and people imagining vain things about God. And he that sitteth in the heavens laughs at what all is going on in religion. And then he says, "Now I'll declare the decree. The Lord hath said, I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion." God said, "I have set my son on the holy hill of Zion, his church, head of the church, Lord over the universe. I have made him king." And he says, "You kiss the Son, lest he be angry." Not accept him. Bow. Bow and kiss the Son. That same Jesus. Everyone's heard of Jesus of Nazareth. So that no one will mistake what Jesus. I met a... You know, there are many thousands of Latin men, Spanish-speaking men, named Jesus. I met one in the church at Merida. His name is Jesus. Well, you need to know who you're talking about. Many say Jesus this and Jesus that. What Jesus are you talking about? There's another Jesus, Paul said in Galatians 1, didn't he? Many come preaching another Jesus. He said, if they do, you better bear with me. And I'm going to tell you who the Lord Jesus is. Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth. Born of a woman, yeah. Named Mary. We were just in a predominantly Catholic country, which most of Europe and most of South America, most of the world, billions of Catholics all over the world. I'm not just picking on that false religion, because most every other so-called denomination doesn't believe who Christ is either. They still believe in just a Jesus. But we were just down there, and most people think, most Catholics will all do, think more of Mary than they do the Lord Jesus Christ. I saw a picture when in the marketplace. There are many pictures all over, idols. Like Paul went into Mars Hill and saw all those idols. I saw that. Pictures. And what you would see mostly is this woman, Mary. And one I noticed in the market just made me cringe. It showed her standing on the earth, the whole earth under her feet, with the baby Jesus in her arms. So that's what most people think of Jesus. And that's what the most of them think about Mary. Well, let me tell you this. Let me tell you what the Scripture said. That Mary was a sinner just like us, saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. The one she was allowed to, in the providence of God, and the purpose of God, to give birth to a baby named Jesus, Savior. But the Son of God, who is the Father, actually was the father of Mary. And now Mary is sitting at His feet with Mary Magdalene, sinners saved by the grace of God through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. She's singing His praises. And He's the one that sitteth on the circle of the earth. He is the one under whose feet all people are. Peter said, this Jesus of Nazareth, you know who I'm talking about. Born of Mary, yes. You think He's a son of Joseph? He doesn't have a beginning. He really doesn't have a beginning. You know, most everyone said they loved Jesus when He came. He fed them. He clothed them. He did miracles. And they started to hate Him. They started to despise and reject Him. Why? Because He began to say things like this, I'm from above, you're from beneath. Which of you convinceth me of sin? I'm the way. No man cometh unto the Father but by man. No man can come unto the Father but by me, except the Father which sent me draw him. And I will raise him up at the last day. He began to say, I'm God. I'm the only one. And they got mad. They said, you're just a man. You'll do what we let you do. You're in our hands. And many times they tried. They even tried to grab a hold of Him. And I love those stories. They said, just pass through. He came, all right, to be crucified. But Peter preached to do what God had determined before to be done. Men and women took with wicked hands and crucified the Lord of glory, but they did what God determined before to be done. The Lamb of God from the foundation of the world. They killed Him, and we killed Him. This message doesn't mean a thing to us unless we see that we despised and rejected Him. All we like sheep have gone astray. We hid, as it were, our faces from Him. I don't know about you, but I went several years where I didn't care about the Lord Jesus Christ. When you ignore someone, it's like you wish they didn't exist. Like you wish they were dead. And I went for years without giving God a thought, without giving Christ a thought. I killed Him. If we'd been there, we'd have done it. All of us. Not knowing that our very life was in His hands. And men and women and young people all over the world today who take that very name and use it and blaspheme it don't know it. But that's the only name whereby they may be saved. And rather than if God would in mercy and grace cause them to call on that name for mercy and be saved. So Peter says, let everybody know this beyond a shadow of a doubt, assuredly, that God hath made Him Lord. Not man. Man doesn't make Him Lord. We don't make Him Lord. Whenever you hear somebody say that, some false prophet say that, make Jesus your Lord, that's another gospel. God hath made this same Jesus Lord. One time they came and tried to make Him king. You remember that? They came and tried to make Him king. And He passed through them. They tried to put a little tin crown on His head and put Him on a little wooden throne in Jerusalem and say, Hail, King of the Jews. Well, He wouldn't let them do that. Why? Because He already was king. And
And we don't make Him Lord.
Salvation comes to us when He reveals to us that He already is Lord. And He's come to claim us.
God hath made Him Lord. King of kings, Lord of lords. What does it mean, Lord? It means sovereign ruler. It means ruler over all. It means everything is under His divine power. Christ said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. All power.
Paul preached, principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places, all is under the divine command of Jesus Christ. Every single thing, Barnard used to say, that writhes or wriggles, Jesus Christ orders it. There's no power but that which is of God. And God has given it all to Jesus Christ. He said, the keys of hell and death are at my side. I do what I will with whom I will. Free will belongs to Jesus Christ alone, not man.
Not man. Even the winds and the seas obey Him. I was a little lord one time. I had a farm. This is a true story. It really happened. I had a little farm and had many subjects under me. Dogs and cats and chickens and cows, or horses. And Walter and Betty were down visiting at this time. And we were outside. And, you know, Walter loves dogs. He had a dog, and I was kind of showing off Abner to him. And Annie was there. And I said, Walter, watch this. This really happened. I said, Abner, roll over. And he rolled over. And there was Annie. I said, Annie, roll over. And Annie rolled over. And I looked up. And there was that cat. And I said, Willard, roll over. And that cat rolled over. Honestly. Ask Walter. That cat rolled over. And I looked up and I said to my big horse, Molly, roll over, Molly. And that horse rolled over. You don't believe that, do you, Dylan? He did. Ask Walter. What happened was it just happened. You know, a cat will roll around. I looked up and that cat was about to roll. I said, dude. And horses would drop, you know, and scratch it, roll it. And she just happened to be doing that. I said, roll over, Molly. And she did. And Walter said, you're the world's best animal trainer. That really happened. I was Lord. They did what I said. Dogs and cats. And horses. Now that was all. I didn't do that. Men fancy themselves to be little lords. No. Men and women fancy themselves to have some kind of power, some kind of free will. And they boast this and they boast that. When the Scripture says the kings, the most powerful man on this earth, his heart is in the hands of the Lord, like the rivers of water, turns it whithersoever you will. Now what makes the world mad makes me glad. Because when I see what these fellas are doing, I get worried for my children and my grandchildren and this nation, how it's going to pot, going to hell in a handbasket, as some would say. The Lord reigns. It's still His earth. And it's all going exactly according to His sovereign will and His sovereign purpose. Nothing by chance. Satan doesn't have any power at all. That's why Paul keeps saying, rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. If you know Him, and you know that all things work together for good according to His purpose for His people, nothing harms His people. Got a hedge about us until He says it's time. Just like His Son. He's Lord. Not a figurehead. We don't make Him Lord. God did. God did. And salvation is to know Him, for us to find out. And we rejoice, come to rejoice in the Lord, our Lord and our Savior. There was a story in 1 Kings 1. I love this story. We looked at it years ago. A man named Adonijah, who was a son of David, Solomon's brother. And Adonijah wanted to be king. David's getting old. David's 70 years old. And Adonijah knew that someone would be king in his place. So Adonijah said, I'll make myself king. And he got a lot of fellows around him that loved him. Said, yeah, you're a good, make a good king. We'll let you be our king. So Adonijah had this big party and got all the people together that loved him, liked him. And he had a big celebration and he said, I'm king. I'm king. Adonijah.
Well, lo and behold, they heard a commotion outside, a loud gathering of people. And Adonijah said, what's going on? And in ran a fellow with tidings and said, David hath made Solomon king. And the prophet and the priest and the bride, Bathsheba, is all there. And David himself has declared him king. And he's right now seated on the throne, reigning and ruling over all Israel. And Adonijah said, oh no. And it says he ran in and grabbed hold of the horns of the altar and begged Solomon not to kill him for thinking he's a king. To let all the world know assuredly that God had made him king long before this world was in existence. Long before. This fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And to this man will I look, he that is poor and of a contrite heart, and trembleth at my word. It said there in Psalm 2, kiss the Son. Worship the Son with fear and trembling. It said rejoice with trembling at it. That's the beginning of wisdom, saving wisdom. And then he said here this wonderful declaration. He said, God hath made that same Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. Christ. Sovereign ruler, sovereign king of kings, Lord of lords, and Christ. Peter said, thou art the Christ. Go with me to Luke chapter 4 and I'll wind this up. Luke chapter 4. What does it mean? Christ, he's made him to be the Christ. Christ. Well, the word itself means anointed one. Anointed one. And again, you hear these phony fellows say, the Lord hath anointed me. I have an anointed ministry. Anointed this, anointed that. Immediately you know that they're false. No prophet or preacher ever said that. And Isaiah wrote that in prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord said here in Luke 4 that this day is that scripture fulfilled in your ear. But what Christ means is anointed one. That God hath declared him to be the one and only Messiah. And what Messiah means is the covenant head. The one that God will accept on behalf of others. You see, Ephesians 1:6 on our sign out there says we're accepted in the Beloved. God accepts sinners only in Christ because of Him. He's the covenant head. He's the one that came to do what He did for His people. And He's called the Christ means that prophet, priest, and king. All of Israel knew that. Prophet, priest, and king. Prophet. The woman at the well said, when Messiah has come, when Christ has come, He'll tell us all things. And He did. He came and He told us all things. And He told the apostles all things. He said, write this down. More wonderful works you'll do through the preaching of the Word and writing the Word. And they did. And He told us all things. We don't need any more prophets. Any fellow that stands up, or woman, says, I'm a prophet, they're false. Christ came. He told us we don't need them anymore. He's our prophet. He's our priest. That's what Christ meant. Prophet, priest, king. He's our priest. He's the one we go to and confess our sin. If we confess our sin to Christ, He is faithful and just to forgive us.
And millions all over the world confess their sins to men, to sinful men, and they can't do one thing about their sin. But if we come to Christ by His grace and confess all our sins, any sin, all manner of sin, He said, shall be forgiven. Just confess them. Don't hold back. Don't cover your sin. Confess them to Him. He's able to completely forgive and to wipe clean. The blood of Jesus Christ cleansed. Prophet, priest, king, mediator. God always hears Him. We don't pray to Saint Christopher. We don't pray to Saint John or Saint whoever, Saint Mary. We don't pray to them. We pray to Jesus Christ because God said, you call you on the Father in my name, He'll hear you. Mediator. Look at this, Luke 4. Our Lord came to Jerusalem that day, and when He was 30 years old, they gave Him the book, and He opened it to Isaiah 61, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me without measure, because He hath anointed me. I'm the one. I'm the Christ, He said, to preach the gospel to the poor, good news. Christ came preaching the kingdom of God. Repentance, for the kingdom of God is at hand. The people under bondage to the god of this world, He said, good news. Your king is here. Stronger than He is here. I'm here to take what's mine. Unless He does, we will remain captive. Good news, I'm here. That's the gospel. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Any brokenhearted sinners, any poor in spirit, any mourn? Good news. I came to save sinners, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to open blind eyes to see who I am, to set at liberty them that are bruised. We sing that song, bruised and mangled by the fall. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And it's still the acceptable year of the Lord. And God is accepting everyone who calls on Him for mercy through Jesus Christ. Every single sinner, whosoever called in that name, looking to Him, believing Him, trusting Him, shall be saved. God hath made Him Christ, Lord. And when He made Him Lord and Christ, it's like Sheba said to Solomon when she saw Him. I love this. She said, because the Lord loved Israel, He made you king. Because the Lord loved Israel, He made you king, and therefore you are their king to do judgment and justice. And because God loved the people, He gave them to Christ, and they have a wonderful Lord and Savior like no other, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord, Scripture says this, He's a God ready to pardon, gracious, merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness to all them that call on Him, to all that call upon Him in truth, ready to forgive. I've often wondered what it would be like to be under Solomon's reign. That if I could live in any time, I've thought about that many times. If I could live in any time in history, what time would I live? It might be 3 years, 30 to 33 A.D. But if in another, it would be under Solomon. 40 years Solomon reigned over Israel, a godly man. It says every man dwelt under his own vine and fig tree. It was not an arrow that flew through the air. Peace. A godly man, king over the kingdom. My, my. The fact is, we have one. But ready to pardon. I thought about Solomon, you know, you could come to him, whoever it was could come to him. Well, we have a greater than Solomon. Ready to pardon. Ready to forgive. Plenteous in mercy upon all, to all that call upon Him. That's why Peter began the message and why I did too with
whosoever shall call him. He delights to show mercy. Ready to forgive. Ready to pardon. Great kindness to all that call upon him. I love that. It made me think of a story. Some of you heard this before. One time when Isabella was just maybe 2 or 3 years old, I had my Bible open, and it was on the stool in front of my chair there, and a pen that I was writing with laying there. And I walked away, and I came back and I spotted her. She had that pen in her hand and was just scribbling all over that Bible, writing her epistle all over my Bible. These things, this book's very precious to me. Not to mention that a good one is expensive. Don't want it desecrated. Don't want it marred. Well, she was marring it. And I was, wasn't happy. So Isabella. Oh. Her heart sunk, you know. She just, her grandfather just doesn't very often raise his voice or speak to her in any way other than real kindness. She realized what she knew. And her countenance dropped. She stood there, that little frame stood there in front of my stool, and I sat in front of her, looking at her with a stern voice and stern eyes, a frown. What have you done? Oh, man. Her lips quivering. And she's sorry. But you know, even before I approached her, I knew what I was going to do. Before she repented, and she needs to know what she's done, she won't do it again. She needs to know she's done wrong. I knew what I was going to do before I even spoke to her, before she repented. I was going to pardon her. Completely and totally forgive her. Scripture says He's ready to pardon. When the Lord was hanging on the cross, the very first words that came out of His mouth were what? What were they? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know where they're going. They don't know that they have no interest, that they killed me. Their only hope, forgive them. Let this blood that I'm shedding right now be propitiation on the mercy seat for their sins. Send your Holy Spirit to arrest their hearts and mind, to show them that the very one they cared not for cared greatly for them, and has had mercy and grace upon them, and died to save their soul. Do that for them. Well, you know, to this day, when I open that Bible, and she repented, such as lies within her, with groanings that could not be uttered, I said, it's okay, it's okay. To this day, when I open my Bible to that page where those scribblings are, you know what I do? Oh, that's my sweetheart. That's my sweetheart. The very marks that we put in the hands of the Son of God. He looks at him and says, oh, I've engraved you on the palms of my hands, he said, forever to look at. Well, that's mercy. Ready to pardon. Ready to forgive. Let all the house of Israel know assuredly, God hath made this Jesus, whom we crucified, both Lord and Christ. And aren't you glad? We have a merciful God. Aren't you glad? Let all the house of you, let everyone, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. All right, Brother John, you come.